What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another exciting episode of Bridging the Geekdoms. I am your host, Robert Slavinsky, and it's kind of a loner show today that's already may have a guest on, maybe two. We'll see what happens, but that's all right. We're going to move forward, push forward, and do the best we can and have the most fun that we can talking DC today. I got away from it for a few weeks, and I think I saw a drop in viewership from that, so I'm going to kind of stick to DC for today and really talk about some of the big things that are coming up in the very, very near future, some casting news and some different things like that. So I'm looking forward to talking about it. I hope you guys join in the conversation and we get going. So let's see what we got here. How's everybody doing? I don't know. Throw some comments down there. I want to see what people are doing since I'm by myself right now. All right. So the big thing that I want to talk about is Justice League Dark and what I think J.J. Abrams could be doing with his Justice League Dark universe over on HBO Max. There are some big things that have been coming out lately about that. Casting has still been kind of hidden away. I think that they're planning on and hopefully planning on doing a HBO Max fandom event. So I'm hoping that comes about. I do have one of my guests here. I'm going to bring him on right now. This is Kenneth from The Culture Nerd.
Hello, can you hear me?
What's going on? How's it going?
What's up, man? How are you?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, I hear you.
How are you?
I'm good.
Cool.
All right.
I was just listening in a little bit. Heard you were talking about Justice League Dark, possible content coming out, and working for The Culture Nerd, we both know that there's definitely some smoke coming from there. So definitely, yeah. Think it's gonna be interesting to see.
Yeah, definitely. You know, one of the big things that you know popped up over this past week was that J.J. Abrams is not only moving forward with his Justice League Dark, you know, what is it, whether it's a series or film, we're still not 100% sure on that, I don't think, but I think it's going to be a series. But the idea that they're going to do as something for a Solo Zatanna series, as well as Constantine, which yep. I think is really, really interesting. And I want to get to Zatanna.
I actually covered that personally. Not to interrupt you, but I just covered that, I would say, maybe like 2 or 3 days ago. So I kind of have like a little bit of an inkling into like the insider dealings behind that. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, sitting here thinking about, or not thinking, but, you know, discussing all of this, Zatanna has been kind of the big character that everybody was trying to find out who's cast, Zatanna and Constantine. So it's kind of funny that both of those characters are now supposedly going to be getting their own show or movie of sorts under J.J. Abrams. I know for quite some time that there were some talks of certain people being cast as Zatanna, and things may have fallen through. Well, I guess we're going to have to wait and see. Do you have like any sort of like fan cast idea or who you would love to see come in as Zatanna? Still there? Did you disappear?
Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Come back. Did I come back?
Good. Yeah, you're good.
Okay, so on my personal Instagram page, I hosted a fan cast of Zatanna, funny enough, and some of the contestants are, I guess, fan favorites that you could say, like Alexandra Daddario, Emilia Clarke, things like that. And it was actually, I'm pretty sure, a couple months ago, I would say around when the Snyder Cut was announced, there was a report coming out from The Culture Nerd that Emilia Clarke was considered a front runner for Zatanna as like a casting. So I think that could be like an interesting way to go about it. For John Constantine, I mean, I personally love Keanu Reeves. The idea of him coming back now that DC is embracing the idea of the multiverse, so I think that would be a great way to incorporate the idea that everything that we've seen before matters type of mantra that DC seems to be adopting at the moment. So it'll definitely be interesting to see what they come out with the next couple of years. It seems like they're definitely trying to take advantage of Marvel struggling to release anything, to be honest. So, yep, and there's my article right there, actually.
Yeah, I pulled it up for you. I mean, honestly, you know, sitting here and, you know, really, really thinking about it, I really love the Emilia Clarke idea for her to come in and take over that role. I think that she would be a really, really good fit. You know, obviously, there's so many different fan castings for that. I trust that they're going to do a decent job or a good job in getting it cast. My only worry is because it's J.J. Abrams. That's kind of my worry. I'm not a big fan of his when it comes to some casting choices he's made in movies that he's done in the past. But I think overall, I think it's kind of exciting now.
Really? If I...
I'm not a fan of Daisy
Ridley. Can I ask what castings?
Daisy Ridley, okay. Yeah, not a big fan of hers. I don't think she's a very good actress. You know, just some other things. I'm not going to get too into it now because he does good whenever his movies like Super 8, you know, the kids that he got in that were fantastic. You know, it's just...
Right. But a different type of cast that he could, right. I understand. Yeah.
Now the one thing that I kind of want to touch on here, since I have you here, this whole Justice League Dark, do you think this is going to be its own separate universe? You know, I was sitting there talking with a buddy of mine today and we were discussing the possibilities of what they can do here, you know, not connecting it to the Snyderverse, not connecting it to the other DC property, the other DC films. Do you think this is going to be a self-contained universe of sorts that J.J. Abrams will have complete control over?
Coming from a personal side, I do believe, unfortunately, that it probably will be in its own corner of the universe. But I do believe that through the Flash movie, we're going to have a better grip and understanding of what exactly is considered canon within the DC multiverse. So I do believe that while it will be its own separate corner of the universe, I do believe that in some way it will tie into the larger narrative that I believe that they're trying to tell. So, and we don't know what specific event that they're building up to, but it seems that while they're getting their stuff together, they are trying to build towards an event type of movie eventually, so... Definitely be interesting to see because I don't know if you've seen the animated movies. Have you seen the recent animated movies that have come out? Like Justice League Dark and Justice League Dark Apocalypse War, I believe is the name of it.
I've watched all the DC animated films.
The
universe films.
The character interactions between like John Constantine and Superman and Zatanna and all the Teen Titans and everything, I think is just such an opportunity that they could bring to the big screen that I feel like that they realize that. And I feel like that's something that definitely to keep an eye out for in the future, because I don't know, those animated movies were pretty good, honestly. And the characters were pretty interesting. So to see like big screen iterations of them would be definitely cool as a fan to see personally.
Yeah. I definitely want to see what they can do. Live action. And, you know, one of the things that I would love to see, I really liked the first Justice League Dark animated film that came out. I think it was about 5 years ago. And the story that they had with Batman in it and everything like that. And I know people want to sit there and say, oh, it's oversaturation with Batman in the world. You know, we've had how many Batman films since 1990? You know, like there's been so many films.
I thought it was perfectly the way the story was constructed. I felt personally that it was perfectly interweaved into it because Batman is just that universal character that could show up anywhere and it doesn't need to be explained because Batman is just that character within the DC universe.
Yeah, and you're completely right on that. And personally, I would love to see them throw a Batman character into this Justice League Dark universe, not somebody that's going to be as big as, say, you know, not somebody as big as, you know, Pattinson or Ben Affleck to go in it, but you know,
which is an actor, because that would be That would be insane, the interaction between whoever they would be able to cast, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm not saying that that's not a possibility. You know, I mean, they could go that route. But I don't think that we should, or they should, on Batman being such a big player in it, but have him in that universe still, because I think the interactions between the Justice League Dark characters as well as Batman really would mold well, and it would go a long way to help bolster it. Because while to us, while to the comic book fans, fans who know, who've watched the animated movies or read the comics, we know what Justice League Dark is. Yeah, we know right. what it is. We understand it. But to the general audience, those people who watch or who got HBO Max to watch Friends on there, they don't know what that is, you know?
Right. No, so, and to see it, there has to be a general audience appeal to it with containing that the hardcore DC fans within the plot narrative, within the overall narrative for the whatever comes out. I believe personally that I agree with you, what you said earlier, that it'll be a series, I guess you could say, but yeah. I definitely there was the door open for like cinematic features and stuff. So I definitely feel like getting all the characters together, like Etrigan the Demon in this animated universe, was one of the highlights of the whole of all the movies, in my opinion. So to have like a series focus on him, and then to have him thrown into the mix with Justice League Dark and possibly like Batman or like another like DC character, would be honestly like a dream come true. So
yeah. Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I mean, for me, I'm looking forward to seeing Etrigan. I'm looking forward to seeing Zatanna, Constantine. Deadman is really interesting to me, which is another name that popped up this past week on potentially getting their own spinoff from the Justice League Dark series that Abrams is looking at doing. And that's really interesting, because it seems like they're going to be kind of in, and I don't want to put it in this way, you know, because it seems like they're doing the opposite of what Marvel did with the Defenders. You know, the Defenders, they kind of built off this, they had shows for Daredevil, Jessica Jones, you know, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and they brought them together. It looks like they might be doing the opposite here with Justice League.
Yep. And then having a Justice League Dark feature series and then spinning it off with their own individual adventures, which I think is personally genius, and also something that could really appeal to the fans, because I personally haven't watched Doom Patrol yet. I don't know if you have. I've seen a little bit of the Teen Titans show, the Titan show that they have, but it seems like they can put comic book accurate depictions out there with a limited budget for like a series like that. And the fact that it would be a platform like HBO Max, which is a little more on the high end of the streaming platform, would definitely, I would definitely not even doubt the quality of the show at all. So I'm interested to see where it goes. And I'm with you a little bit. J.J. Abrams is a little hit or miss for me as a Star Wars fan. Definitely hit or miss with me. So it'll be interesting to see, though. I have faith in him to pull through and give justice to these characters, especially Deadman, because that's a unique character, and you have to get him right. You have to get the look right. You have to get the actor right. So it'd be an interesting look for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Right now it's kind of just, what's the cast going to look like? Who are they going to cast in these roles? And when is it coming? You know, we've been talking about it now.
Seriously, forever. We've been sitting here for almost 3.5 years waiting for the Snyder Cut to come out. So it's like another waiting for everything else to come out with the Peacekeeper series coming out and everything. It's a lot to take in, honestly. I'm not as a hardcore DC fan. It's unusual to hear this amount of news come out, because it's for 2 or 3 years, they were just, you couldn't hear a peep from DC at all about anything going on. So this abundance of information is just overload, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely nothing. Let's see. The next thing that I kind of want to touch on, unless you have anything else you want to talk about when it comes to Justice League Dark.
Let's see. If there was, because watching the animated movie, I feel like that'd be a perfect series setup, no?
Yeah,
I feel like
something different.
I think not copy and pasting what they saw in the animated universe, but definitely elements that were shown throughout. It just worked, honestly, for me. So, and honestly, I really do hope that this is part of like the universe that we're known, that we know, like with Man of Steel, with the Snyderverse, because I think those interactions between those characters would just be like just cinematic history, honestly. So it would just be cool to see it. I'm just starting the campaign for Keanu Reeves to come back, honestly, because that'd be something to return to.
I would like to see Keanu Reeves come back. I'm actually kind of in the, it's a rumor that's been around for a little bit. I'm kind of in the Dan Stevens category here.
I've seen him for a couple of other things. I saw him for the Reverse Flash, which is a little for me, but.
I don't like Reverse Flash. No, my go-to for Reverse Flash is 100% Matthew McConaughey. Like, I've been saying that for about maybe six, maybe longer years. My friends and I were there in FanCast. Like, who would be perfect for this? And
what's interesting is that the first ever fan cast that I ever did was for the Reverse Flash. And Matthew McConaughey actually lost to Michael Fassbender. And there's rumors because Michael Fassbender doesn't follow anybody on Vero except Zack Snyder. And it's like, you know, you can make those, like, you can connect those tiny little dots out there. But my personal choice was, I don't know if you've ever seen the TV series Dexter I think premiered on Showtime. I think Michael C. Hall would be the perfect Reverse Flash, honestly. So that's my personal choice for that, but.
I could see him as Reverse Flash. I could. I definitely could. I'm not saying that. If
already
I would
the dual personality down, so.
Yeah. And honestly, any of those three that we mentioned there between Fassbender and McConaughey and Michael C. Hall, I think would be a good choice for the role.
Yeah, I think it would be just a gift to the fans. But apparently they're not even making him like the centric villain of the Flashpoint, or whatever you want to call it. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where he factors in, because he could play. He's another one that could play an important role in like hopping from multiverse to multiverse and making a problem. Well,
The fact that and I actually have somebody else who wanted to jump on and talk Flash, so I'll probably jump back into that in this a little bit here, but real quickly, when it comes down to it, the Reverse Flash is such an important character for Flash, and the fact that his first movie, he has to be in it in some form or fashion. You know, even if it's just the setup for the second film, kind of like what they did with Black Manta and Aquaman, I think would be a really good idea, because the thing, and I'm going to sit here and talk about the Flash TV show, is the thing that I think they did poorly so far for seven seasons over there is the underutilization of Reverse Flash. And people will sit there and say, what are you talking about? He's been in almost every season, and he has. But not in the right capacity,
I completely agree. He should be the main, he should be the overarching villain every season. Everything should go, every plot line should go back to the Reverse Flash at the end of every season. That's how I personally felt like the show should have been structured. After that first season, obviously I was hooked, so I obviously was just a dedicated fan, but I definitely understand where you're coming from, because the last couple of seasons of The Flash with the villains has been less than stellar. We'll keep it as that, because there have been some questionable villain choices, to be honest, just to be frank, honestly, you know? So the character will always be forever in my heart, because Grant Gustin, to me personally, is The Flash, but it's time to... It's time to just focus on Ebord Thawne versus Barry Allen, because that's the center of the comics and that's the center of the Flash himself. So,
yeah, completely. Yeah, I agree completely. I came up with this really cool, idea for the TV show that there's obviously these villains that are bigger than Reverse Flash at times, it could be more dangerous than what Reverse Flash is. But they should have utilized Reverse Flash in a way of, in a season, like they should have had to team up, they get
that would have been actually a good idea
to take down Godspeed, or something like that, which is another character they completely screwed up in that show. But, you know, like, that's what they should have done is, you know, teamed up to take down a speedster that is, or a villain that is just absolutely terrifying. And it's to the point that it scares Eobard Thawne as well. And he knows what comes in the future because that's where he's from. So he could come and like, look, Barry, we have to work together. We have to do this together. But during that time, you know, being who Eobard is, he's got an ulterior motive that would, you know, make him surpass the Flash or Barry Allen or something like that, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. Right. I definitely, it's the yin and yang of basically of Barry Allen's whole comic book story arc. And I feel like for it to get a cinematic iteration would be honestly amazing. So,
yeah. I got Michael here. He's the one that wants to talk Flash a whole bunch. So we'll bring him on to discuss the Flash now. Michael's also from the Culture Nerd. What's going on there?
What's up? Happy to be on here.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Now, we were actually just talking about the Flash show. I don't know if you heard any of it a little bit. Just kind of some of the things that we liked and don't like and wish they would have done better on the Flash show. But it kind of stemmed from talking about the Flash feature that's coming, our casting ideas for who the Reverse Flash should be and everything like that. So that's kind of where we're at. Just catch you up to speed here. So what is it that you wanted to talk about? You still there, Michael?
Okay. I think from The Boys, Anthony Starr.
Oh, he dropped. Okay.
I think he was going to suggest Anthony Starr for the Reverse Flash, which also is another spot on casting.
I would have agreed if he wasn't in The Boys.
Yeah,
because you know the fact that he's in The Boys, the fact that he is, he's the face of The Boys right now. Essentially, you know, he and Carl Urban. Yeah, they're both the face of that show right now. And, you know, I sit there and think like, yeah, he would have been a good casting 3 years ago before he got The Boys. But now I don't think I'd be able to separate.
He's too
the two.
Into the mainstream.
Yeah, at this point.
Okay, no, I respect that stance. Yeah. I think personally he could pull it off because he has the look to it already, but there has to be more than just the look. There has to be the acting that comes behind it. And I think somebody like Matthew McConaughey with his menacing voice at times saying stuff in the Flashpoint movie, saying the lines that the Reverse Flash said in the Flashpoint movie, that would be iconic. So I don't know. Matthew McConaughey definitely is like up there for sure. Dexter's yeah. my choice, but I think Matthew McConaughey would be like second on my list. And
yeah,
I'm sure
definitely.
DC is well aware of that stuff because all these industries are aware of fans what they like look for in like casting and stuff nowadays. So
yeah, definitely. I know that you said that you only had limited time. You still good to stick around, or do you have to get going?
I actually do have to get going in a little bit. Have a little bit of homework to do, and of course, my Yankees are playing as well. So.
All right. Yeah, my Pirates, they're pretty much done. So or they are done.
<it's>, oh yeah, no, those are you a Pittsburgh fan overall?
I mean I'm from Pittsburgh, so you know, Steelers, Penguins, Pirates. Okay.
I'm a Pittsburgh Penguins fan.
Nice. Nice. Although this season sucked, so
yeah. Yeah, I mean
playoff or whatever the heck that was.
Yeah. No, but it was definitely a pleasure to come on your show and definitely do it again sometime. And next time I come on, we got to be talking about that Snyder cut.
Oh, definitely will be. Definitely will be, man. Cool. Thanks for coming on.
All right, man. Take care. Thank you.
Take care. All right. Yeah, I don't know if I'll have anybody else coming on today. Michael having some issues with his phone to get on. So unfortunately, I don't know if he'll be able to make it. If he does, great. If not, that is fine as well. We'll just keep pushing forward here to my next thing, which is Hawkman. Hawkman has finally officially been cast after all this talk and all these rumors and all these different things that have come out. Is it Ryan Reynolds? Is it Michael B. Jordan? Is it this guy? Is it that guy? Who the heck knows? For the better part of 2 months, that's what's been going on. And finally, we have a casting for that, which is Aldis Hodge. Now, he's pretty much an unknown. The most notable thing that he's been in is Invisible Man, which came out last year, or maybe even it was earlier this year. I think it may have been early this year. COVID's got me all screwed up with releases of films. He was also in What Men Want, which was a remake of the Mel Gibson classic, What Women Want. And that's about it. I mean, he's been in other roles on TV here and there, but he's a relatively unknown actor, which I don't think is a terrible, terrible idea to do in this case, especially, you know, playing a character that is also relatively unknown to many, especially the general audience. Now, this actually came about earlier on Friday of last week, on the 25th of September, where there were reports beginning to circulate that he had been in talks to portray Hawkman. It wasn't long after those reports circulated, Dwayne Johnson himself posted on Instagram this here, which I thought it was hilarious. He goes, "This is Hawkman. A pleasure to welcome Aldis Hodge to Black Adam. Hawkman is critical, is a critical leading role for our movie, as he is the fiery leader of the JSA, Justice Society of America, and one of the most beloved and legendary characters in the DC universe." He goes, "I called Aldis personally, as I wanted to surprise him that he got the role, and it wound up being one of the greatest conversations I've ever had." And it goes through here about, you know, how he called him. He didn't believe that it was Dwayne Johnson. You know, he explains that it's him. You know, he kind of plays with him a little bit, saying, "Hey, thanks for coming in, blah, blah, blah. Wanted to say thanks, best of luck in all you do. Oh, and one more thing, welcome to Black Adam." And he welcomes him to the cast, and he, you know, pauses, he freaks out. You know, I just think it's great. You know, Dwayne Johnson is one of those characters, or not characters, one of those actors, one of those people that he just has such a big heart. He's such a great guy, and he knows how important it is for some of these actors and people to play different roles and have a chance to show their talents on screen. And this here just shows that, and I thought it was fantastic. Not long after that, Hodge himself goes onto Instagram and posts this. "So the cat's out of the bag. The Rock is at The Rock. It's going to be an honor to join you, you know, and the Black Adam DCU family. Let's go." So, yeah, that's what's kind of going on there. Sorry if you heard my dog. I don't know what he's doing over there. So I'm excited. I am definitely, definitely excited about that. I don't know who's saying "Sup, Robert" on Facebook. I can't see because it just says Facebook user. Let me know if you want to join in and have a discussion with me. I have no problem adding people on here. I just need to know who you are, and I can reach out to you for sure. All right, next thing. Now, I know I wanted to, but my main topic was going to be Justice League Dark today, but I started to hear some rumblings over the last couple of days of something really, really cool. We've talked about it in the past. I'm excited about it. I think we're all excited about it. It seems to be that Justice League parts 1 and 2 are not just all we're going to get. And let me change that here, because I was in a rush. Sometimes I gotta, I just got to slow down. I think that's my problem sometimes. Let's see. Let's do that. Justice League Parts 2 and 3, mind you, have possibly the idea of additional parts for Zack Snyder's Justice League have been discussed in some form or fashion at HBO and Warner Media. Now, if you think about it, it's no surprise that this would happen, seeing how big of an impact the Snyder Cut movement has become when it comes to pushing just HBO Max. I mean, that it had a huge launch. No, it's not as big as Netflix. No, it's not as big as Amazon, you know, Prime or Amazon Movies or what have you. But it's getting there. And they don't have the content yet. You know, look, take a look at Netflix. Netflix has all this content. They're just building up. HBO Max, they need to build more content, and it's coming. It's absolutely going to be coming here very soon. I mean, we've seen Lovecraft Country, which is phenomenal by all accounts. I have yet to give it a shot. I think my fiance and I are going to wait until it is pretty much, done. To maybe binge it. I hate, one thing we run into sometimes, we'll start watching something and we'll get to the end of that season and then we've got nothing else to watch. And it's like, what else do we have to do? So we have to find something else, or, even if it's partially through a season and we get stuck and don't have anything else to watch. So I think we're going to wait till that. But what else do they have? They've got Zack Snyder's Justice League coming up. Yeah, they have Peacemaker. They have the Gotham PD show. They have Justice League Dark, Zatanna, Constantine, Deadman. They have all this cool stuff coming out, but none of that has the attention and has the amount of discussion going on that Zack Snyder's Justice League has. Now, we know without a doubt that that show, that four-part episodic film, is going to be a huge hit. Whether you're a fan of Zack Snyder's or not, you're going to want to go and in some form or fashion. I want to do it. All the fans are going to do it. All the millions and millions of fans, those who have supported Zack Snyder, the movement, ASFP, or AFSP, or American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, all of that, we're all going to watch it. It's going to be a massive hit. And we know, regardless of what you want to say, we know it's going to be better than what happened in 2017. That Justice League, or as many call it, as and have dubbed it, Justice League, is just one of those shows that people, or shows, movies that people, we know how bad it is. We know what we were supposed to get. And that's what makes it even worse at this point. And that's why people are going to go watch Zack Snyder's Justice League. So with all of this hype, all of this excitement surrounding that, HBO Max and Warner Media will be dumb not to go ahead forward and start making plans for the potential of parts 2 and 3 to finish off Zack's arc, what he originally wanted to do. Now, a lot of people sit there and they're going to come back and push back at me and others who talk about this and say, well, why would they do that now? Why would they not wait and see? It comes out in 2021. What if it sucks? Why would they plan a second, part 2 and part 3 if the first part sucks? Look, I know for a fact it's not going to suck. I just know it, at least it's not going to be as bad as Justice League. We'll put it that way. But you have to think about it this way. Just think about this. Jason Momoa, Gal Gadot, Ben Affleck, Ray Fisher, Ezra Miller, Zack Snyder, all of those people, or most of them, if not all of them, are hot, sought-after actors and filmmakers. It's not like they're just sitting there waiting for a phone call for their next job. They all have things coming up, lined up, movie after movie after movie after movie after project. They have things lined up. You have to get in there and say, okay, here's the deal. Oh, I forgot Henry Cavill, too. You have to get in there and say, okay, here's the deal. We're going to plan parts 2 and 3. Here's the tentative dates for when we're going to shoot them. We got to work out deals with the actors to make sure that they'll be available. If this show ends up being a failure, if we decide, hey, we're not going to move forward, no love lost, we move on, we live another day. But if it's amazing and it's great and they want to get part 2 out there, they want to get part 3 done and out there, now they have the chance to. Now they have the opportunity because they have it already scheduled out and they don't have to figure out what the hell they're going to do when Ben Affleck has 4 movies lined up, when Henry Cavill is doing Witcher season 3, 4, and 5, or when Ezra Miller's doing the other Fantastic Beast films and his Flash movie. That is why they have to start planning this and getting it in motion now. So while it's an exciting development that we hear that there's these rumblings going on over at HBO Max and Warner Media, don't sit there and think that it is 100% certainty. We still need to be loud. We still need to be passionate. We still need to be excited. We still need to push the Snyder Cut, us fans, the fans who've been there since day one, the fans who've been in here since yesterday. No matter what, wherever you came in, you need to stay passionate, loyal, excited, and push not just the Snyder Cut, but help push HBO Max. The more money they make is obviously, I mean, every company's in it for money. They weren't going to release the Snyder Cut just because fans were yelling, release the Snyder Cut. That's not why they did it. Yeah, it played a role. Absolutely. I mean, that absolutely played a role. But they're not going to release the Snyder Cut if they don't believe they're going to make money. Now, how much money they make depends on us. And the more money they make just deems how much more they're going to give us when it comes to Zack Snyder and the Zack Snyder universe of Justice League and Man of Steel and Superman, Batman v Superman, everything like that. So it's exciting, but don't sit back and think the battle is won. It's still not. Yes, the battle is won. We're getting the Snyder Cut, and we really shouldn't ask for more. I mean, if you really think about it, they went above and beyond, you know, the rumored amount of money that's being spent on this. You know, the initial amount was $30 million that was talked about. You have Greenblatt from HBO Max, who was like, oh, I wish it was $30 million. So we know it's more than $30 million they're spending on this to get this put out there. They've done the fans and Zack Snyder a solid over there. You couldn't ask for anything better. But now, we have to support them. We have to support and show them that their decision to do this was the best thing to do, and that we will pay for HBO Max, that we will not bootleg it, that we are going to sit there and watch it and make this the biggest that we can possibly make it for HBO Max and Warner Media. Yeah, there's talk about that it could be released in theaters after the fact, that you know they're going to do different things with it. That's great. That's exciting. I love it. I absolutely love it. I'll watch in any many ways that I can watch it. But we want to make sure that we're doing this with passion, with excitement, with joy. Because when we start falling into these habits, and I've done it myself, I've fallen into habits where I get pulled into social networking wars between one faction or another. When that happens, that looks bad on not just you, but the movement, the fandom as a whole. And that's what we need to get away from. We need to really stop and focus and say, okay, what won us this victory for the Snyder Cut? What is it that made this happen? It's working together. Working together for artistic integrity, for suicide prevention, for us to get this movie. That's what won that. That's what won it for us. If we want more, we're not going to get that bickering with each other. Yes, there are people out there who utilize this movement, who utilize other people's hard work for their own clout, for their own popularity. It sucks. I've called them out on it. Maybe I shouldn't have, but it sucks. We need to step back and just let them be. All right. People are going to go over there. You know, if they talk to us, if they ask you what we think about them, or if they say, hey, you know, I listen, or I watch this person's podcast, I read this person's articles, I do this, you know, they're saying this, you're saying this. That's when you can sit there and say, look, I've heard from this person, I've seen this person, I've watched this podcast, I trust these people more, or I trust these people more. But do it civilly. You know, don't sit there and start the bickering and the throwing of mud and everything like that. It does no good, and it looks bad. And you know, think about this. Think about Zack Snyder and what he would think if he saw that. You know, this is such an important project for him to finish. And he wants to do it with love and care for the fans. And if the fans are sitting there throwing mud, acting like complete douchebags between each other, then they are absolutely going to, Zach would absolutely be, they're absolutely going to be, Zach would absolutely, I'm sorry, kind of lost my train of thought. Zach would just not be happy with that. He wouldn't appreciate that. So when it comes to this, parts 2 and 3, they'll come. We're going to get David Ayer's Suicide Squad. We're going to get more Ben Affleck as Batman. We're going to get so much more because of the passion and the dedication and the excitement that we've shown. But don't stop just because we won this victory. And yes, it is something to be excited about. It's something to relish in. It's something to put a feather in your hat about. It is exciting. It is amazing. But don't sit there and just be like, hey, we got this. Now let's be dickheads to everybody. No, I'm not for that. You shouldn't be for that. Nobody should be for that. All right, I'm going to get off that here. I'm excited. I hope you all are about Justice League and what's going to be coming from Zack Snyder. We have so much going on. We have the Flash movie coming. I think, the Flash movie, I'm going to be doing a free talk maybe this week, maybe next week. I kind of got behind on my free talks. I'm trying to find a way to do it in my car while I'm going to and from work from my phone. I might give it a shot tomorrow, maybe after work. Maybe we'll see. We'll see what it sounds like, what it goes like. But doing a free talk, I want to talk about the Flash movie because there's so much going on with that film and so many different rumors and casting rumors and character rumors and everything like that. So I think that's going to be on my free talk this week. And I will, I may give it a shot tomorrow. Free talk is exclusively for my YouTube channel. So if you're listening on the podcast here, definitely go subscribe to my YouTube channel. They're short. My free talk is short, 20, 30 minute videos of me just talking about one solid subject. I don't go through different things like I do on my normal show. It's where I sit down and I will just focus on one main subject, one main topic, and discuss that. I also will take questions from people. I'd like to try and keep it on point. If it goes or sways from that point, that's fine. I do want to throw out here, pretty sure that Facebook user is Gary, who was on my show a couple weeks ago. Man, it sucks I couldn't be on. It's bowling night. I got you, man. I know. It does suck. I wish you could have been on. I initially planned to have this, my episode, yesterday on Monday. I really want to start doing these on Mondays. It's just the past couple weeks, things have popped up for me where it's, family stuff, and I end up having to move it to Tuesday. Last week episode was pretty awesome, though. I had a bunch of people on. We talked about the next generation, the ninth generation of the video game console war. There was so much more I wanted to talk about. Didn't get to talk about everything. It just seemed like everybody had something to say. We had so much. So I'm going to try and get them on again here, maybe in November, right around the time when the new consoles release, because we'll have a better idea of what to expect and what we're going to be seeing. And maybe it'll be after. Maybe some of us will get our hands on some of these new consoles and we can discuss those at that time. So definitely keep a lookout for that. Some interesting news did pop up today that I want to talk about as well really quick here, because I thought it was, well, I was shocked that this came up. Now, I'm going to share this here from Lightcast, Lightcast Pod on Instagram. Actually, I don't know. Let me do this real quick. Because there is a very interesting clip about Henry Cavill. Let me go back here real quick. Henry Cavill admits on the Empire Magazine podcast that he was told to lie about being in 2017's Justice League movie because no one really knew what they wanted. So let's, hopefully you guys can hear this. Let's see what he had to say.
But the last time you were on the Empire podcast was for Justice League. And it was one of the most surreal interview experiences of my life, because I knew you were in that movie because I'd just seen it. You knew you were in that movie because you'd filmed it. And yet neither of us could talk about you being in the film.
Yeah, it was one of those weird situations where I guess people, no one really knew what they wanted. And it was like, hey, we need Henry on the press tour, but let's not tell him anyone he's in the movie. I was like, okay, well, it's going to be super awkward for me, guys. Thank you for giving me an impossible scenario, which I'm just going to say to people, well, yeah, I was here for moral support. I made the tea. I made the tea for an entire movie.
Did anyone, but the last time you were.
So there you have it. Thanks to Empire Magazine Podcast. Thanks to Lightcast Pod for putting that on your Instagram. I wanted to, so I had a place to pull that from. Now, it's very interesting. You know, I remember back in 2016, 2017, more so 2017, when all the promotions were going on for Justice League and the trailers had no Superman in them. There's no Superman in any of the trailers. It seemed like they didn't want to show off Superman. I think that was a Zach. I really want to say that was a Zach planned maneuver, because I remember shortly after Zach left the project, it seemed like there was a little more promotional things with Superman, you know, such as the picture of all of them, you know, United We Stand, or United, you know, we can't defeat us, United, whatever it was. Jim Ross. I can't think right now, but you know, it was like the one promotional piece that had Cavill and Superman on it. They were trying to push this whole narrative that maybe they can't bring him back to life. Maybe they can. I don't know. I don't know why they did what they did there, because honestly, it really makes no sense. You know, why they would think that, okay, he died in the last movie. We know we want to see him, or we know we're going to see him. You know, no, maybe, or this one here. Where's it at? It's the wrong one I was thinking of. The You Can't Save the World Alone didn't have him on there, but there was one that came up, and I just did a quick Google search. I'm just going to throw it up on share screen real quick here. And as you can see, that one there, the one over on the right that says, you know, Justice League, all in, now playing. It wasn't until then, I guess, when it came out that they started promoting him. Like, if you take a look at all these different promotional arts, like, here's the IMAX. There's no Superman in it. You know, nothing. Not even on the names at the top. This is the one that I was thinking of here. Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. They really, and I remember sitting there, you know, thinking about that, thinking about how, why are they not showing it? You know, he died, but we know that the whole idea is to bring Superman back in this movie and to really push forward the Justice League. We all knew it. I just don't know why they did it that way. It was very bizarre, and you could tell it was uncomfortable for Cavill as well. I remember seeing some of the promotional stuff that he was doing on a promotional tour to promote the movie, and he couldn't talk about it. Very secretive. I don't know. Again, it's just speculation that maybe it was a Zach idea to do that. We know that the other people in charge were very, very, they wanted Superman to be seen in a different light. So it's shocking that they wouldn't have been promoting Superman in this new light for the upcoming movie. But then again, marketing and stuff like that, a lot of that's done months prior to a movie coming out. A lot of the trailers, a lot of the TV spots, they're all created and done months and months before the movie comes out. And we know that Zach left the project in March of 2017. We know that Joss Whedon took over shortly thereafter. He didn't shoot his additional stuff until a couple months later after he did the rewrites. So most of the promotional material was probably done prior to those reshoots being completed, which is why it stuck to the no Henry Cavill, no Superman, and all of that. So I do think it may have been a Zach idea. Not bashing it. I mean, look, my biggest thing, and I've said this many, many times, is when it comes to Batman vs. Superman and Justice League, more so Batman vs. Superman, the marketing for it was just horrendous, and it should have been done drastically better. Could have been done better. I really believe that marketing can make or break a film. And I think that is something that hurt Batman vs. Superman quite a bit. I also think that the name of Batman vs. Superman hurt the movie quite a bit. But we know why they went that route. Even Snyder has talked about it himself, saying that he wants to do Batman v. Superman. They came back. The studio came back, was like, no, we don't want that. Why would they fight? And he goes, well, how about this? How about this? How about this? How about we call it Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice? And they're like, and they were talking, why would you kill Superman at the end of Batman vs. Superman? Well, if I do that, how about we call it Dawn of Justice? I think that's what the conversation actually was, not the BVS, but the fact that he dies. You sit there and you think about it. It's like, I know that there's these bigger heads, these executives up there that think they know what's right. They think they know what's, what people want. Sometimes you got to just let the creative mind, you got to let the person who's making the movie, who's being paid to make this product, let them run with their ideas. That's just my opinion. And we're getting that now with Snyder for sure. You see all the crap that happened in the DCEU from 2013-14 through 2017. Three, 4 years of just absolute horror behind the scenes. We see what Ray Fisher's been talking about and stating, and what he and these investigators are now looking into that happened over at Warner Brothers. We know that some shady shit went on there. And it's about time that it's brought to light, but it's time to move forward. As I said before, and while we can support Ray Fisher, we can support Gal Gadot, we can support anybody who had a horrible time on the Justice League set because of those executives who utilized their power too much, we should never lose sight that we need to move forward, stay excited, stay passionate, and we'll continue getting this amazing content that we've all supported for so long. So definitely, definitely keep that in mind. It doesn't look like I'm going to get any of my other people that I wanted to have on here, but that is fine. I am okay with that. I had a pretty good show. I had a decent conversation with Kenneth from the Culture Nerd. I kind of want to kind of allude to something here. We got something working with him in a works with him right now. And I think it's going to be something really, really cool that people are going to really enjoy. I hope they really pursue this and make it the best they can. I know I'm going to try and help them out as much as I can to make it happen, because it's about building relationships. When you're a podcaster like me, when you're part of a network, when you're part of a website, it's all about building relationships. It's about being the best that you can be, being friendly and nice with people, and lending a helping hand when another person wants to give it a shot. That's what we're all about. That's what we're about at the Spoilerverse. I know when it comes to the Culture Nerd, they're the same way. They want to help out and get people out, help them get their voices heard and everything like that. That's what's so great about this community that I'm part of. That's what's so great about the Spoilerverse. I love it all. It's amazing. Some really cool things are on the horizon for us here at Bridging to Geekdoms at Spoilerverse. For some of the writers and editors and people over at the Culture Nerd, things are happening there for them. Again, I'm not affiliated with the Culture Nerd. I'm solely affiliated with the Spoilerverse. I want to point that out. But I really, really respect everybody that works and does hard work over the Culture Nerd. They do a hell of a job. Thank you again, Kenneth, for jumping on. Michael, you were on here for about a minute. Hopefully we can get those issues worked out so you can get on here maybe next week or another show that we can sit down and talk about The Flash. I could sit and talk about The Flash TV show for hours. So definitely want to get you on sometime, because that'd be amazing to do. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for watching. All of you that did watch, I know this isn't as good as my normal show is, unfortunately. I'm going to say this. I miss Colton. I miss the little banter Colton and I would have. I'd like to get him back on here. I know he's been really busy. I promise all the time, hey, I'm going to get him back on here, but never pans out. But hey, hopefully I can get him back on here soon. Spoilerverse. I keep talking about the Spoilerverse. Some great things are happening. Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. We need some help. We're growing at a very fast pace, and we can't do it alone. We just can't. We're trying. I don't know if you've been checking out the site lately, but it's been some amazing content coming out there. We're trying to get breaking news articles. We're getting press releases. Not only that, but we want editorials. We want opinion pieces. We want reviews done. We're getting a whole bunch of comic reviews. It's amazing to be part of the Spoilerverse because we get a lot of early copies of comic books. If you're a big comic book reader, if you're somebody that loves to read comic books, we want someone like you to come join the Spoilerverse. You come over, join the Spoilerverse as somebody who can be a writer. You'll get some of these comics early. You can then write a short review, submit it, and we will post it on the site. If you're an aspiring writer, if you want to be a journalist, anything like that, this is going to help get you some experience. And that's what we want. So head over to spoilerverse.com, click that join us button at the top, and just fill out the form here. Tell us what you're looking to do, because we want you to be part of it. If you want to do more than writing, if you want to do something, if writing is not your style, there are so many other things that we need to do over there. We're not just a website. We are also a podcast network with a handful of podcasts on there, such as Bridging the Geekdoms, Shooting the Sith. I don't know if you could see my little baby Yoda behind me with the Shooting the Sith t-shirt on. Shooting the Sith. Misery Point Radio. Mike Peacock from Misery Point Radio was on my show last week talking video games. Awesome dude. Great podcast. Talks music. Fantastic. Check out that show. You got Narrative Gunslingers. We got Nerds from the Crypt. Polygon Warriors and our flagship show. And I call this our flagship show because without them, there would be no Spoilerverse. There would be no network. There would be no website. Our flagship show, Spoiler Country, who they talk to insiders. They talk to comic book creators, actors, musicians, all of that. They interview all these people for their show. They have 4 to 5 shows released each week with different interviews, different people who they get to speak with. Their latest one last night, they talked to Tommy Chong. Freaking Tommy Chong. They told me it was amazing. I can't wait to hear it. I hope you guys check it out as well. But it's just cool people like that. People, you know, you could go listen to these other podcasts who, you know, have these, you know, big, like, who wants to listen to J.J. Abrams talk about the same 10 things that he's talked about on every late night show and stuff like that? Who cares about that? Let's get these people that haven't been on interviews for a long time, like Tommy Chong, and see what he has to say. But definitely check out Spoiler Country. Go to spoilerverse.com. There is so much more at spoilerverse.com besides podcasts. Like I said, we do so many different things, articles. You know, we do a lot of different things. You can see news articles every day. 2-3 news articles are dropping. We got Cowboy Bebop to resume filming the live action show for Netflix. I think it's Netflix. Yep. Neil Gaiman's The Sandman is coming to Netflix in live action form. That starts production in a few weeks. We have some Wizards of the Coast, the Magic the Gathering, and the Walking Dead crossover. Black Adam finds its Hawkman, as we just talked about. So many cool things on the Spoilerverse website, so make sure you go over and check them out. That's it, guys. That's it. That's my show. Went for an hour. That's what I was shooting for. Thanks for watching. Please, hit that subscribe button. Smash that like button. Share this video up. Get more people involved. You know, I love the conversation. I want to see people coming on and making comments. I love answering questions. I love talking to the fans. Bridging the Geekdoms is a show for the fans. You know, you're going to see, I don't just bring on other podcast hosts. I bring on people that are just fans, who are video gamers, who are writers, websites, you know, people who just want to passionately talk about their love for things in the geek world. That's what Bridging the Geekdoms is all about. That could be you as well. You guys can jump on my show anytime. Just throw me a message over on the Twits. Throw me a message in Facebook. Throw me a message, and I'll get you on the show. I think that's my cue to leave, guys. There goes my dog. Have a good night, everyone.